Well, welcome back, Scott.
No, Mark. Welcome back, Mark.
Welcome back. People give me a hard time about how we open. I used to just say, hey, Scott, every time.
And now, I'd say, hey, Mark. And now we both welcome each other back.
Now we welcome each other back.
But really, we want to welcome our listeners back.
That's right.
It's good to have a few minutes with you today.
Yep.
And Mark is becoming, among other things, a student of podcasting. So he's been listening to some other podcasts, which good podcasters would do, and learn some other things. But why don't you tell us a little bit about those?
Okay. Yeah, I've been just listening to other podcasts from people who really believed that they were the one right church, that they had something figured out that everybody else didn't. And, you know, their group was doing it right while everyone else was doing it wrong. And I was just surprised to hear a lot of the same things that I always heard at Followers. I don't know why. Like I said, you tell me every week.
I have to stop you right here and say, I told you so, didn't I?
You did. You were
it
right.
It happens. The things we're talking about on here are relevant far beyond your background, because there are many, many churches. If they don't believe they're the one in my church, they've never really used that language, and they act as though they are.
Right.
And see, it's really easy for churches to do that. So, anyway, I'm glad you finally come around. And yes, Scott, you were right. If you can bring yourself to say that, someday you can say that. You don't have to say it on the air.
Yeah, I'm happy to do that. I think if we did probably some kind of word search on this, one of the most common phrases is probably you saying, "Well, I don't think that's just a Followers thing, Mark. That's a bigger problem everywhere." So,
okay,
it is. Yeah, I think I have said that a lot.
I have said that before. I'm glad to hear you saying it, Mark.
Yes.
So, what are you getting out of this? Hearing other people, you're really hearing the same things from other voices in other directions. What are you getting out of that then?
I don't know. Are you asking like the specific things that I heard, or just how
it's striking
me?
You? And what are your takeaways?
I guess it's mixed emotion. It's surprising to me, and even though you've told me, but
you didn't believe me. I know how that goes.
he just doesn't know.
People normally don't believe me. I'm used to it.
But it saddened me a little bit too to hear that there is so much of this going on. Part of me would rather think it's just a problem in one place.
Yeah.
But So I noticed a couple of things that seem to be consistent through at least the ones that I've heard about. And one is they seem to be centralized around a specific leader, an individual. I've heard it, a charismatic leader or someone who hears directly from the Lord in most cases. That seems to be a common thing. I thought, as far as I knew, Walter at Followers was the only one claiming that. Because I grew up in this bubble, I just didn't know that other people claimed that.
Well, I think one of the things about claiming to have heard directly from God is it sounds different in different contexts.
For sure.
You know, so somebody may not exactly say that same thing, but they act as if they are the only ones who've heard from God. They act as if, rebellion against them is rebellion against God.
Right.
And see, that's part of it, is that they feel so, and that's part of what can be spiritually abusive actually too,
right,
is that if you go against me, you're going against God. Well, that gives a lot of clout to the person who is imagining that,
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I was trying to think of the thought just skipped my mind. So, the other thing that it does for the people then who are members of a church with someone who is leading their church as someone who is hearing directly from God, is that's, I think in my mind, that's distancing your members from God, because they have to come to you to hear from God.
So it's not really the priesthood of all believers. It's really, Right. You're reestablishing a priesthood that intermediary between God and the people. Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they, I noticed the other thing too that struck me was that if God was giving a message to church leaders, if he was speaking directly to them, I would expect him to be saying the same thing to all of them. But it seems like they're all hearing from the Lord and they're all hearing something completely different. And then it just, sometimes in opposition to each other, you know, go and reach the world maybe is this person's, and this person's message is to circle the wagons.
Withdraw from the world.
And so, you know, then everything just becomes subjective. And so that's, I think that's really challenging as you're trying to figure out what does God want? How can I have this relationship with God? If it feels subjective to you, that makes it really challenging, I think. It also gives them the authority really that surpasses the authority of Scripture. At least it did at Followers. We were more interested in what Walter said than we were what the Bible said. And so I think that authority and power just increases, I think, over time. And you're unable to question them also. And that you mentioned that, and I had heard that. I think I was married at the time, but my dad kind of just let me know. We knew that I can't let anyone else know that my dad's telling me this, but he just said it was really kind of a dictatorship, and it's not ever been a place where you could ask questions, because I had questions.
Yeah. I remember you wanted to name the podcast something about questions at the beginning.
Yeah.
But the thing about that is, you know, if leaders can't be questioned, then they must be certain, right? Mm-hmm. They've got to be right, and if they're right, what that does, and this is why this is a dangerous and really problematic thing, is because when leaders can't be questioned and they are certainly right, it gives followers not from the followers, but people who follow that leader, it gives them a certainty and that number one, their guy is hearing from God, that they know what is, you know, what God wants. And there's a kind of a false certainty, actually, and a confidence that, and security that comes with that sort of, I'm going to say it this way, bravado. Mm-hmm. That seems maybe pejorative, but I just want to admit, this isn't only a leadership problem, it's also a followership problem, because followers seeking black and white, right and wrong, secure, certain answers gravitate toward leaders that say, I know because God told me, and they have that level of certainty. And that's what kind of makes it a combustible mixture, is you've got leaders who are certain and followers who crave certainty.
Right.
And that then is, that's where you end up with the problem.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
One of the problems.
Sorry. One of the problems. Yeah. Yeah. I remember reading in the Bible in Matthew. This was after James and John's mom asks if they can sit at the right and left hand of Jesus in his kingdom. And Jesus, it says, but Jesus called them to him and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. And I remember reading that and just hearing those words from my dad just echo in my ear of, this has been a dictatorship, and it's never been a place where you could ask questions. And that is just such a big contrast that I think even the people who were craving that certainty, who did want those if the certainty came and it sounds completely different than what Jesus says leadership should look like, I think that's something we should at least give some thought to.
Definitely.
Yeah. The other thing that has been interesting about the leadership at Followers is that it's been gone for years. And there was so much, I'm going to say control. There was just so much control established that it's still going on. That control is still going on to this day. And really leaving Followers is kind of what is that line. We've talked about it on here before. You're divided from your families. And leaving Followers, I really think, means to them that you're in opposition to Walter and the other elders that were there. Whether you, I tried to remain neutral. I tried to say I just never knew Walter. He died before I was born. But it wasn't good enough. If you're leaving, you're saying all that, you're saying Walter was wrong, you're saying the church is wrong, you're saying all these things, and it was like I was attacking the leadership by just simply leaving a church that the leadership wasn't even a part of anymore. Like
there isn't any leadership. Yeah, that's really interesting that whatever you have as far as, you know, charismatic leaders, to be able to lead from the grave,
yeah,
is, I mean, that's above and beyond what other people are able to do in some regard.
Yeah.
So that's quite remarkable, actually.
Yeah. And I just think we talked earlier about, I've got another verse here that was meaningful to me when I would have conversations with family as we were leaving or after we left about what the Bible says, and I was met with, I just wish you could have heard Walter. And then it just made me sad again that they felt like they needed Walter to get to God. And 1 Timothy 2 says, "For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time." And I just want to encourage people, that, like we do every week on here, that your relationship to God is through Jesus only. That's the only way. You don't need anyone to get you to Jesus. You don't need anyone to get you. Jesus gets you that relationship. So, yeah.
Well, and I think that is the central problem with charismatic leadership. Even if it's within bounds, not out of bounds charismatic leadership, even in bounds charismatic leadership has to pay attention to the fact, are people focused on you or are they focused on Jesus?
Right.
Are they sensing that you are their Savior or sensing that Jesus is their Savior? Right. And so some of what has to happen is that the whatever leadership happens in a church, it must inevitably point people to Jesus in a way that causes them to trust Jesus more than they trust the leader, which is really hard if you're like some of the leaders that you've been hearing about on your podcast, because that works against agenda of fame or power or control, because you don't get fame, power, control from serving like Jesus served. And I mean, some people might, I suppose, they wouldn't want it if they were in the right place.
They wouldn't end up being the ones that people were really worshiping. It felt you're distracting people from Jesus at some point, I think. The other thing I noticed that these groups had in common is that there was always something that they do that other churches don't do. And I really noticed that I didn't see them in any of their messaging really working to separate themselves or to set themselves apart from the world. It seemed like it was more about setting themselves apart from other churches, what they were doing right and what other churches were doing wrong. And that was kind of surprising to me. I thought really that we did that at Followers by just including, we've talked about being worldly on here. That meant anybody other than the Followers of Christ Church, you in Oregon City. We even thought the Followers of Christ Church in Idaho were worldly. Everybody was out there, but to hear these other churches criticizing churches too, that was surprising to me, to kind of build their resume, I guess. But I don't know if you've experienced any of that or seen that, but...
Well, I mean, I've been on the receiving end of it.
Yeah.
I've been the guy who has, been warned against.
Okay.
You know, people warn people about me, you know, or about our church.
Right.
Which, I make my mistakes, and you're well to be warned of those, but that's not what people were warning about. They were warning that we don't do it the way they do it.
Right.
That whether it's our, whether it's our baptism or whether it's our doctrine or whether it's our, practices or whatever it is that is different than theirs, they've warned their churches against me, anyway, it's interesting.
Yeah.
So yeah, I have seen it, let me say, up close and personal.
Yeah, so the statement that I heard from a friend when we were having lunch before we left was, he looked around at the restaurant and he said, these people here probably claim to be Christians, but we're the real thing. And I said, what makes us real? What makes us real and not them? And he didn't really have an answer. And I thought, if you're going to make a statement like that, that we're the ones who are real, then you should at least know what makes you real. If you're accusing other people and of being phony Christians, basically, I heard that term a lot, just phony Christians. And it came down to what we do that they don't do, which was, for us, it was we don't go to the hospital and we greet with a kiss. And those, I used to think, were really primary things, but over the years, they've really become secondary to being the place where Walter was. That's the primary thing. So even what we do,
interesting,
that makes us real can change. You can disagree on all those things even, and it really just comes down to being connected to Walter by going to the Oregon City Followers of Christ Church. And the statement that people would make when friends that we had that knew the problems, they knew all the same problems that we knew and had all the same challenges and disagreements with the way things were going, but they would always, at the end of the conversation, say, this is the last place that we knew of where there was a true called man of God. So until God shows me where to go, I'm staying here. And I don't, what do you say to that? Like, until I hear God's voice tell me what the real One Right Church is, because that's the assumption. If this isn't the One Right Church anymore, then God's got to show me which one is. And so it's a...
sometimes you say things on here and I just don't know how to respond.
I know.
Because, I mean, there is a One Right, there is one called man, his name is Jesus.
Right.
And he can connect you to God. There is, no one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, namely Jesus, has made him known. And it's Jesus that makes God known. Right. And it's Jesus that you want to get connected to. And it's Jesus that will really get you. He said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, John 14:6. And so that wasn't a charismatic preacher,
right.
That wasn't a pastor, it wasn't you know, a founder of a church, it was Jesus.
Yeah.
And he is the only one who will connect you to God.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we have that. I'm glad you brought it around to that, because that really is, I never want this to just sound like, hey, here's a bunch of things that I don't like about the Followers Church. That's not what we're doing here. I really want to point people back to Jesus. So we've talked about what some of these churches look like. So what does a good church look like? What is the church supposed to look like?
Well, I think for today, if you don't mind me narrowing the question a little bit, what does good leadership in a church look like?
Yeah.
Right? Because that's what we're talking about.
Yep. So,
and it shouldn't be too big a surprise, right? Good leadership in a church should point people to Jesus, not to the leader.
Right.
For instance, Colossians 1, 28 and 29 says, Him we proclaim, okay, Jesus, okay, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all His energy that He powerfully works within me. And I love this because it says what the goal is. The goal is that every person would be mature in Christ, not that everyone would belong to my church, not that everyone would think the way I think, but that they would walk with Jesus and be united to Jesus, be mature in Jesus. And even the work that I do toward that end, I have to give credit to Him for working in me to do that work. And so it really is a humble approach to leadership. And in other words, Jesus, it says Him we proclaim. Jesus is the one we talk about.
Yeah.
That's the main thing. Then another place as far as leadership goes is 1 Peter 5. And this too, as far as I'm concerned, is contrary to those podcasts that you've been listening to and the charismatic leadership. It says, I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and witness of the suffering of Christ. I'm just going to stop there, that being a witness of the sufferings of Christ is the qualification, that suffering is the primary, the lead qualification. Then he says, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed.
Right.
He says, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly. And then this is the one that's most outstanding in this conversation. Not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. Mm-hmm. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive an unfading crown of glory. In other words, you are an under shepherd of Jesus, and you are doing what Jesus once done with His church. And it is the chief shepherd that is the object of the shepherding of these elders. In other words, we're really trying to get people, you know, face-to-face with the chief shepherd at some point, and you don't do it by domineering, you do it by being an example.
Yeah.
And so that seems to me to be one of the, again, a humbling thing. And even talking about the way you do it, you don't lord it over them like the Gentiles, the verse you read, but you just set an example.
Yeah.
And here's another one, just as far as church leadership goes. And the thing I want you to notice in this is the centrality again of Jesus. Jesus is the one that gave gifts to the church. And then it says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Hmm. So it is a service to the body of Christ that you would help people attain unity and knowledge of Jesus so that they become mature, growing up into the whole church, growing up into the stature of Jesus. And so you're really trying to exalt and centralize Jesus in the life of the church. And when people fall in love with the church, they should fall in love with the church because they fall in love with Jesus.
Right.
Ideally.
right? And I think that's what I would say to people, whether at Followers or at any other place where you're attending. If your draw to that place, or if your reason for thinking you're in the right place is because of the leader of that church, if it's because of a single man, or if it's because the way the church was started, or if it, you know, I've heard all these different things, that's not the reason to how do I say this? That's not a good enough reason to stay at a church just because I just am following this leader. Are they pointing you to Jesus? I think that's just a question that everybody should ask themselves.
Well, and that's, you know, that's what it says. Him we proclaim.
Yeah.
And you can appreciate someone who proclaims Jesus.
Absolutely.
You can appreciate someone who is doing everything in their power to present you mature in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm grateful for the people who have done that in my life.
Absolutely.
And I hope other people are. But that, you know, even as, again, putting on my, you know, follower perspective, mm-hmm. If I'm going to follow someone because they proclaim Christ, that's why I want to follow them, because of what, you know, because of Jesus, not because of them.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it may look the same. I mean, I may attend church the same number of times or whatever.
Sure.
But I think it's really important that both leaders and followers are clear about what church is trying to do. I mean, it is Jesus' church. He bought it with his blood.
Yeah.
And if somebody steals its affection, it's like, you know, it's like being a groomsman at a wedding and trying to steal the bride.
Yeah.
You know, to try and get the bride to look at you instead of look at the groom. I mean, it's
right.
ridiculous.
Yeah.
You'd really think somebody was wacko if they tried to do that at a wedding.
Right.
And yet, I do think that there are, you know, preachers who do that, or in church leaders who do that.
Yeah.
And I think that's what you're trying to get at.
Well, yeah.
By bringing this up.
Yeah, for sure. And one last thing that I just thought of is that if there are people who have experienced a leader like this and being controlled like this, I've seen that drive people away from church altogether, too. I just want to encourage people that isn't what all church leaders are like, that you can find people who are proclaiming Jesus, who are pointing you to Jesus, who can be a blessing for you. And I appreciate going to church here and you doing that for Cindy and I and the rest of the church. And I just want to tell people that they can find that. Don't make the assumption that all church leaders are like what you've experienced, I guess. And the people who are still at Followers, really most of them have never experienced any church leadership. But don't be skeptical of it. Go find a church that's pointing you to Jesus.
That's good advice.
Yeah.
And find a leader that points you to Jesus.
And find a leader that points you to Jesus.
That's what your hymn is about.
Yep.
Leadership. Here,
leadership.
Right?
That's right. Getting me back on track here.
Focus, Mark.
Yep. Okay, we would sing, He Leadeth Me. He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words of heavenly comfort fraught. Whatever I do, wherever I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. Lord, I would clasp thy hand in mine, nor ever murmur nor repine, content whatever lot I see, since 'tis my God that leadeth me. And that's really the point. After everything we've said, that's really the point, is that we want people to be led by Jesus and not by someone other than Jesus.
That is what we want.
Thanks, Scott.